AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Hope you're having a wonderful Monday. As you know, yesterday was Mother's Day, and that is always such a special day. I tease with my church and say that it's the second most important day of the year, second only to Father's Day, but actually, Mother's Day is very, very important, and honoring our mothers is important. And so we had a wonderful day to do that. We had parent-baby dedication. We do that on Mother's Day, and then we do that on the Sunday before Thanksgiving in our church. And we had, 17 kids, 19 kids, something like that, and 14 families. We had a bunch. The stage was full with little kids, and it was just a special, special time. And then I talked about what a family is supposed to be. There's that song from Captain and Tennille. Some of you may remember it. Love will keep us together. And they, you know, it sounds good. All you need is love. That's what the Beatles sang. Sounds like, yeah, that's it. It's just about love, and love is going to do it. Love is going to keep us together. But if you know anything about Captain and Tennille, they ended up, after 39 years of marriage, they ended up getting divorced. And one of the headlines read, "Love won't keep us together. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." You and I need the Lord, desperately need the Lord. All of life is about this question: what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? It was the question from an unbeliever, from Pontius Pilate. He asked that question. It's the most important question in the world. What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. When you think of the house, think about your own life. Unless the Lord builds your life, all your labor's in vain, because you're going to have to stand before God one day, and you're going to have to give an account of your life. What did you do? Two questions, I think, that will be asked of every person. What did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with the opportunities that I gave you? And why did you do what you did? Now, for Christians, we're going to definitely be asked that question as we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ to receive reward or no reward. It's not a question of heaven or hell. And the Lord is going to ask us, okay, I gave you 5 talents. I gave you 2 talents. I gave you 1 talent. What did you do with what I gave you? Did you use it, or did you bury it in the ground? And then why did you do what you did? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 that we're to wait for the Lord, who will disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. And so the motive is key. Now, for an unbeliever, they go to the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. You can read about that. And what's the question there? What did you do with Jesus? You did not receive him. You rejected him outright, or you ignored him. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And those people will be left speechless before the Lord. And then they're going to be judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Jesus is critical to life. Everything is about him. All the Old Testament is about him. Luke chapter 24, when Jesus walked with Cleopas and the other unnamed disciple on the road to Emmaus, It says that he showed them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Not all the things concerning himself. Let me get that right. I always struggle with that, how that is worded, because it is critical. It says, you know, he starts asking him questions. O foolish man and slow in heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Not all the things concerning himself in the scriptures. Because that would be like, oh, there's one little passage over here that talks about me, and then flip over three books and there's one little passage over here that talks about me. No, he said, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Every book of the Bible has something concerning Jesus. He is the hero of the Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. It's all about Jesus. And unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Is the Lord building your house? I hope so, because one day you're going to have to give an account of your life. The Lord says in Ezekiel 18:4, all souls are mine, and the soul who sins will die. And we have to stand before God. He's the judge of all the earth. Well, I want to talk to you today about exposing the darkness. I'm in a series on Sunday mornings at First Baptist Texarkana called Shining the Light, Exposing the Darkness. And the Bible has a lot to say about that. It has a lot to say about do not be deceived. In Ephesians chapter 1, a great passage, it says, therefore, chapter 5, I'm sorry, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty. Okay, listen into this. This you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater, if you're covetous, your idol is money and things. So every time when the Bible talks about being covetous, it says that's idolatry. Impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And then here is where I got the verse for my series, Shining the Light, Exposing the Darkness. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. Well, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word of God is truth. Sanctify them in the truth, Jesus said, John 17:17, in his great high priestly prayers, talking to his Father. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And so we shine in every situation. We need to shine the light of God's truth to discern good versus evil. To discern, is this right or is this wrong? Do not be deceived. The devil is out there. He is a deceiver, and he's a master liar, a master deceiver. And so I was thinking today, what do we see taking place today? And all of this is under the sovereignty of God. God has everything planned out. Men and women, boys and girls, we do things. We make choices. God has given us a free will. We make choices. But as far as how things are going to end up, that's in the plan of God. You know, interesting, the religious leaders did not want to arrest Jesus during the Passover. They even said that, not during the feast, lest there be a riot, because there's so many people there. And lots of people thought Jesus was a prophet, at the least, the Messiah at the most. And so they said, if we arrest him, there could be a riot. But God's timetable was the Lamb of God would be slain on Friday, the same time that the priests were slitting the throats of the Passover lambs, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Jesus died 3 p.m. on Friday. God had it all timed out. And so he orchestrated that, even though they didn't want to do that initially, they said that, he created a situation where they couldn't avoid that. So God is in control of all things. Well, what do we see in America today? We see the rise of anti-Semitism, the hatred of the Jews. And we see that people who hate the Jews don't want to say necessarily that they hate the Jews, and so they'll couch it in other terms. And we see this defense of Islam. And we see people, if you say anything bad about Islam, well, obviously you're Islamophobic. And so Islam keeps taking more and more ground. They are playing off the fact that America is designed to be a place of religious freedom. And so they say, oh, we can come here and have religious freedom, and we can just kind of play ball with everybody. And if anybody encroaches on our religious freedom, we cry foul, we cry Islamophobia, and we just keep permeating society. I read a text from somebody that said, you know, Zoram Mandani, he didn't come to run for mayor of New York City and win. He's not trying to further the American dream. He's trying to fundamentally change New York City and bring about, hopefully, the desire of every Muslim is that we bring about Sharia law. And they have people in significant places that are helping move the ball downfield for them. Tucker Carlson is one of those. Megyn Kelly is one of those. People who used to be strongly conservative, seems like, I mean, if you're strongly conservative, you recognize that Israel is important. Israel is important in the Bible. Israel is important in Bible prophecy. The Lord is coming to rule and reign for 1,000 years from Jerusalem. That will be the capital city one day, the capital city of the world. God is not done with Israel. Romans chapter 11 makes that very, very clear. Now, because of people's theology, especially with Reformed theology tends, not at 100%, but it tends toward amillennialism, which is just a big word that means there is no 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. We just believe that Revelation 20 that talks about the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, that's symbolic. And so they don't believe in a literal 1,000-year reign. So Israel is not very important moving forward. Well, if you start to think that way, because you don't read the Bible, you don't read Revelation as, okay, this is telling us what is going to happen. This is just not allegory. It's got some symbols, obviously, in it, but it's more of this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and the other's going to happen. Well, if you don't read it that way, well, then you don't see the value of Israel. You don't see necessarily the value of supporting Israel. You don't see that God still has a plan for Israel. And you can give shade and give cover to those who say, well, why do we support Israel at all? As Tucker Carlson has said, it's America first. Why are we getting in wars that benefit Israel? Who cares about Israel? So we're going to talk about that when we come back, because Tucker Carlson has been very pro-Islam and very anti-Israel. And why is that? Well, we're going to see. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. You're listening to American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here on American Family Radio. Ephesians 5, verse 11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. We are to shine the light of God's word, the light of God's truth on situations in life. That's what it means to have a biblical worldview. As you approach everything from the Bible, you look at culture through the lens of Scripture, not Scripture through the lens of culture. And as we've been talking about this this anti-Semitic spirit that is going through the land, especially in America on college campuses, you know, from the river to the sea, as we were having all those protests and violent protests and taking over campuses and all that stuff. And one of the big defenders now, he's very, very harsh on Israel and very supportive and defensive of Islam, is Tucker Carlson. And somebody put together a montage of Tucker Carlson that we want to talk about and go through together to see what is wrong with what he is saying. So listen to this.
Sharia law is bad, Seth. I don't know if you've heard that. It's bad. It's worse than what's happening in New York and Detroit. It's just bad. I don't know why. It's just like years of brainwashing. I just like
travel so much that I see it. There's not a single Western city that's thriving. And they're all degrading in exactly the same way.
I'm not Muslim. I'm not for Sharia law. On the other hand, compared to what? Compared to Baltimore? You know, shut up.
Because I travel outside the Western world, the white world, I'll just be honest, the white world.
Right.
I travel a lot in the Middle East. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Whatever it's worth, a pretty fervent Christian, and I feel completely comfortable here in the seat of Islam.
But you go to the Gulf, and it's incredible to be in a place that has pride in itself, that believes Correct. In its religion and culture, that thinks we're on to something, and this is great. Look at what we're doing. We're really proud of this. Those people are happy, they're welcoming of others, they're tolerant of diversity, just where they're into things that I'm not into, like, I don't know, polygamy or Islam. And I can sort of look at it and be like, no one's forcing this on me. I'm not mad at you for being a polygamist.
He's like, you know what Islam means? Submission. I don't think I'm against that, actually. Anyone who submits to God, like, I'm just for that.
If you have a society...
Okay, let's stop that there. Lots of things that he said. Sharia law, he acts like Sharia law is a great thing. And, you know, when I go to these Muslim countries and they practice Sharia law and the people are happy and they're there's tolerance and it's just amazing to me. It's like, go to Iran. Why are the people in Iran cheering for America to destroy the regime in Iran? Because they're under oppressive Sharia law that is brutal and horrible. So I asked AI to tell me, okay, what is Sharia law? What is that like? Strict interpretations of Sharia law contain elements incompatible with modern universal human rights, individual liberty, equality, and evidence-based justice. These are not fringe distortions, but rooted in scriptural sources and applied in varying degrees today. They have punishments for crimes against God. Amputation for theft, flogging for alcohol or fornication, stoning for adultery, crucifixion or amputation for highway robbery. These are rare due to high evidentiary bars, but still enforced or threatened in places like parts of Nigeria, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, and by groups like Al-Shabaab. Critics call them cruel, degrading, and disproportionate, amounting to torture by international standards. Yeah, well, I mean, I've said this for a long time. Look at Islam. The proof is in the pudding. We love the motto of Hamas. We love death as much as you love life. Iran is the same way. I mean, they're going to usher in the imam, the 12th imam. And so, we want to create chaos. Let us get a nuclear weapon. And the day we get it is the day we use it. We're going to get rid of the little Satan, Israel, and the big Satan, the U.S. Okay, what else is under Sharia law that Tucker seems to think is a great thing? Apostasy and blasphemy. Death penalty for leaving Islam or insulting Muhammad. Applied in Pakistan, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan. This violates freedom of religion and freedom of speech. Blasphemy laws often target minorities or reformers and enable mob violence or abuse. Women's rights. You, Tucker, you like Sharia law? Women inherit less than men, typically half. Testimony in some financial criminal cases carries less weight. Male guardianship systems restrict travel, marriage. Polygamy allowed for men up to four wives. Easier male divorce, dress code segregation, and limits on roles enforced variably. Have you seen the videos where they're beating these women for whatever they're doing, and you know, not wearing their garb on their heads or whatever it might be? They just start whacking them. It's horrific. What if you're LGBTQIA+ under Sharia law? Well, you're probably going to end up thrown off a building. Now, obviously, Christianity would call out LGBTQIA+ as sin, and we would warn people about that. Hey, those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But we're not murdering people for that. We're not executing people for that. They do in Islam. And how does it work with Christianity? Is Islam all for Christianity? No. No proselytizing Muslims. Non-Muslims are forbidden from inviting, enticing, or preaching to Muslims to convert. Public sharing of Christian faith in streets, distributing literature aimed at Muslims, or open preaching is treated as a violation, often equated with blasphemy, sedition, or endangering the faith community. And you do that stuff, and you can end up dead. So I don't know where Tucker gets off saying, oh, this is a good thing and it's freedom. They're not pushing any of this stuff on me. Islam means submission. They are pushing it on you. And if you look at Muhammad's life, I mean, he would attack and then he would say, you either submit or die or we're going to sell you into slavery. So let's continue on with Tucker praising Islam.
In which people bow down before God five times a day? I'm not against that. I should bow down before God five times a day.
Well, okay. He's saying that's a good thing. That's part of Sharia law. You bow down before God five times a day. That's part of being a Muslim. Well, yeah, that sounds good until you say, what God are they bowing down to? Well, he's assuming that it's the same God. That, well, they just worship God in a different way. They love Jesus, as he had that famous quote. You know, people don't want you to know this, but Muslims love Jesus. Well, yeah, they love another Jesus whom we have not preached. They have a make-believe Jesus. The Jesus of the Muslim is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible is Lord of all, and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's not the Muslim of the Bible. That's not the Jesus of the Quran. That's the true Jesus. The Muslims have another Jesus whom we have not preached, and they pray to another God. You know, you could say in ancient Israel, well, you have these prophets of Baal. Well, their God is Baal. Our God is Yahweh. It's just different names for the same God. No, it's not. Baal is not God. Baal is a demonic force. There is one God who has revealed himself as Yahweh. I am who I am, says the Lord in Exodus chapter 3. You tell them that I am, which is a form of to be, has sent you. And God has given us his name, those four letters, YHWH. That's his personal name. That's his covenant name. Allah is not Yahweh. And so it's another Jesus whom we have not preached. It's another God. So they pray five times to demons. And you think that's good? Obviously, that's not good. Let's continue.
And I wish I lived around people who bowed down before God five times a day.
The Emirates or Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and you see that when people are self-confident, when they're really pleased with what they're doing and they believe that their system is the right system, that self-confidence results in a kind of welcoming attitude. Mm-hmm. So you'll be sitting at dinner in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and you'll say, you know, I'm really kind of pro-Jesus. Like, I'm,
no, they're Muslims.
They're Muslims.
It's a country governed by Sharia law.
Right.
I mean, and they're like, that's great. People are tolerant and open-minded and happy.
But you should know, Seth, that the real danger is Sharia law. Sharia law. And you can tell when you go to a place like Abu Dhabi or Riyadh, like, oh man, I hope we don't ever wind up with a society like this with a rape rate of zero, where you leave your keys in your Lamborghini and don't ever worry about it being stolen. And, you know, if people want to get wasted, they do it at home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hope we don't wind up with that.
Mm-hmm.
Sharia law.
Well, in.
Sorry. Sharia law.
I'm not going to take another lecture in my country about Islam this, Islam that. You're lying. And I don't have to take that anymore. I'm sick of it. Does that make sense?
Well, that was Tucker Carlson defending Islam and Sharia law. I think Tucker should go live in Iran and see how wonderful it is there. He goes to Qatar. I think he's got a house in Qatar. Anyway, he travels there and talks about how great it is. He really does not like Israel, although he says, I'm not anti-Semitic. I just don't like Israel. He called the Israeli operations in Gaza indefensible and accused them of killing civilians, even children, bombing Christian sites of excessive force. If you saw the interview, the sit down he had with Mike Huckabee, Ambassador Mike Huckabee, he was just going after Mike, just like he sat down with Ted Cruz, going after Ted Cruz. How many people live in Iran? You don't know the population of Iran, so you're qualified to even talk about any of this stuff. And who is Israel? You know, he asks all those questions. Well, what does the word is mean? I'm making that up, he didn't say that. But, you know, it's just all this. Well, you know, who is Israel? Ancient Israel is gone. How do we know any of these people are descendants from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? You know, to be an Israeli, you would have to be a descendant of Jacob, not just a descendant of Abraham, because Abraham had the son of the bondwoman, Hagar, and Abraham got together, had Ishmael, the father of the Arab race, and then he had the son of the free woman, as God miraculously gave birth, allowed Sarah to give birth, even though she was way past childbearing, and they had the son of miracle birth, Isaac, and Isaac has two sons, Esau and Jacob. God doesn't choose Esau, the firstborn, he chooses the secondborn, Jacob, and then Jacob has his name changed to Israel. Jacob has 12 sons, and they become the 12 tribes of Israel. And every true Israeli can trace his lineage, her lineage, back to being a part of Jacob's family. So the Lord says, and he makes it clear, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac, not Ishmael, and Jacob, not Esau. Well, it is quite amazing. And then you have Megyn Kelly, who seems to have flipped the script on her attitude toward Islam and Sharia law. This is what she had to say.
Once he said that he's sorry that he endorsed Trump, he regrets it.
She's talking about
Tucker. And feels like he has to make amends. And his show is doing fine. It's not like he's hurting for audience. Yeah. But I think he's understanding there may be some new listeners over here. You know, like he's gotten very, very popular lately, I read, with Muslim viewers because he's been standing up for Islam, you know? And I have to tell you, Mark, it's been something I've noticed just since I've gotten sort of more clear-eyed on Israel, that a lot of the anti-Muslim rhetoric that's put out there originates with people who are very, very pro-Israel, who kind of need us to demonize them. Right. And I've taken a look recently at my own rhetoric on this to say, like, have I been manipulated? I want to make sure I'm not getting manipulated. But I think he's having a lot of Muslim viewers flock to him. I know for a fact he has a lot of young men flocking to him. And so while he may have lost some contingent of the Fox News audience that's very, very pro-Israel and you know, pro-Trump, and you can't say anything about Trump, for every one of those who leaves, there is another newer, younger audience member who does want to hear these traditional lines challenged and hear just new independent thinking. I mean, I'm experiencing some of that myself, and right. Tucker probably times 10.
So now Megyn Kelly, who was, we thought, a voice of conservative principles, and Tucker Carlson, the voice of conservative principles, now they're flip-flopping on Trump and flip-flopping on Israel and defending Islam and Sharia law. Does not make sense at all. But that is the world in which we live, and we have to shine the light of God's truth onto situations to see what is the real score. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here on American Family Radio. When we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, I'd love to hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe, but did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about the situation with Tucker Carlson and Islam, shining the light on Tucker Carlson and Islam and Megyn Kelly and Islam, and how Islam seems to be, presented as such a wonderful thing. If you say anything bad about Islam, well, you're an Islamophobe. And, shouldn't we love Muslims praying five times a day? Shouldn't we love this submission to God? Isn't that a good thing? Well, if it's submission to the true God, that's a good thing. If it's submission to a false God, that's a terrible thing. That's submitting to, there's the true God, and then there's the devil and his demonic hoard. Well, they come only to steal and kill and destroy. If you're going to go that route and think that's a good thing, you're totally deceived. So we're going to the phone lines at 888-589-8840. And we have our friend David from Florida on the line. David, you're on Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor. You're so knowledgeable, and it's just a pleasure to listen to you so that I can fill my coffers with what I need to talk about. But well, just you. A quick, I see the jihadists, this is how I see them. I see them like a Venus flytrap. It lays there in wait, and it looks pretty. It's wide open. It invites you in. There's stuff that you want. Then you go in there, and it closes up, and you're gone. And that's how I see the Muslims and their way they live their life. And that's all I got to say.
Yeah, a great illustration and a great picture there, David. It's exactly right. You know, that's the way all the false ideologies, false religions coming from the devil, because he is a master liar. So it's going to look good on the front end. That's how sin is. Each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust, it says in the book of James chapter 1. And then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived. So it's always going to look good on the front end, just like, you know, when the Bible talks about being tempted, it uses a term that means to bait a hook. The bait looks good on the hook to the fish. Now, the fish wouldn't bite that if they knew, oh, there's a hook. If I bite that, he's going to reel me in and cut me open and put me on the grill. I'll be dead. He bites it because it looks good. And, you know, it tastes good. The passing pleasures of sin, it tastes good to that fish probably for a brief moment until the hook is set. And that's what happens constantly. And so your Venus flytrap picture is spot on. I appreciate you sharing that. So God bless you, brother. Thank you for your kind comments. Well, we have our friend Lynn on the line from Arkansas. Lynn, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to say I don't understand why Christians listen to non-Christian podcasts and things like that, because you do get different views. I admit I was fooled by Tucker Carlson when he was on Fox, because he brought out a lot of true things, but I know that one of the most dangerous things is truth mixed with error.
Yeah.
And, you know, because your defenses are down. But I don't know. I just, I know someone in California who listens to Megyn Kelly, and I told her, you know, how she was kind of turning. I don't listen to her all the time, so I don't know, but just what I've heard. So anyway, that's my main comment. And but in California, they have kind of a live, let live mentality.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got to say.
Yeah, that's a good point. We need to be careful. The Bible says to take heed to what you listen to. I think that's in the Gospel of Mark. Be careful what you listen to. And so we need to be careful. When you listen to people, you know, we got to be Bereans. We got to check what we say, what we hear people say, check preachers. But these were more noble-minded, Acts 17:11, than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness. This is the Apostle Paul preaching to them. They received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And so that's what we need to do. And if you listen to somebody like Tucker or Megan or Bill O'Reilly or somebody like that, you have to take everything they say and examine it by the scriptures. So I used to like to listen to Tucker Carlson, but in my opinion, that guy's gone off the rails. I used to like to listen to Megyn Kelly, although I was very disheartened by the fact that she thought that there was some kind of power in using bad language. I didn't get that at all. It's like, don't talk like that. I mean, you're a beautiful woman. You're a mom with kids. Why are you talking like that? But then she's now rethinking things. Maybe Islam is not so bad. Maybe Israel is the aggressor in these situations. It just ridiculous. It's like, good night. I mean, did you forget what happened on October 7th? That is Islam. What you saw there, that is Islam. Now, does everyone who says they're Muslim do that? No. But they're not practicing true Islam. And the radicals will tell you that. Well, these people are not practicing true Islam. You know, it's just like in Christianity. True Christianity is being sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. I watched the movie A Great Awakening. Just a great, great movie about the friendship between George Whitefield and Benjamin Franklin and how God used Whitefield to open blind eyes to the truth, awake sleeper, let the light shine and Christ will shine on you, and how he preached you with such passion and such fire. Well, the guys in England, in the Anglican Church, they couldn't stand George Whitefield. And Whitefield was calling them out. He said, the reason why the church is so dead is because you have dead men preaching to them. Those guys were not believers. And Whitefield was calling them out. We have, just like in Christianity, where you have those who go under the banner of Christianity but aren't truly Christians, they've never been born again, you have that in Islam too. And I contend that it's the radicals who are really practicing true Mohammedism. They are following in the footsteps of Mohammed, and those who are more moderate, they're like the mainstream moderate Christianity, which isn't Christianity at all. Christianity, true Christianity, is to be sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the book of Acts in terms of going and telling and suffering for the name of Christ. That's true Christianity. It's letting people know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. It's saying with Peter, Acts 4, verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. That's true Christianity. So I appreciate it, Lynn. Thank you for the call. We have Linda on the line from Texas. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, sir. And I'm telling you, what I have to share is perfect for what was just shared. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. It's called, it's Luke 12, and it's 1 through 3. Beware of religious hypocrisy. Meanwhile, a crowd of many thousands came together so that they were trampling on one another. He began to say to his disciples first, be on your guard against the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing covered that won't be uncovered, nothing hidden that won't be made known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in an ear in a private room will be proclaimed in the housetops.
Mm. Very good. Yes. And so, you know, when Jesus came, he went against the grain of all that was being taught by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders, and they hated him for it because he was exposing the darkness with the light. So that's a good word, Linda. Thank you for that and for sharing that scripture. We have Haywood on the line from Mississippi. Haywood, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you, and I enjoy your show every morning.
Thank you, brother.
I did two tours in the Middle East, and I've seen how the Muslim work, and it's not pretty. And if you look at Matthew 24, when the disciples asked Jesus what will be the signs of the end times, the first thing he said, don't be deceived.
Mm-hmm.
Many people are being deceived by Tucker Carlson,
mm-hmm.
and he's been deceived. And I would encourage all your listeners, don't be deceived. This man, he's went off the rails. I agree with you. I used to listen to him, too. But mm-hmm. I saw him change over the last year or two. And just the church, don't be deceived, people. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Yeah, good word, Haywood. Yeah, we need to know. So if the world, here's just a life hack. Whenever you see the world going in a particular direction, whether it's all for COVID vaccines or jumping on the bandwagon with you know, coronavirus, this is the worst thing since the bubonic plague and all the hype and everything like that. I told my church, hey, if big government, big pharma, and big media are all pushing it, just know it's false. Because that is the way of the world, and the world is deceived. The world, the scripture says, is passing away, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. And so when the world starts to embrace Islam and demonize Israel, just know that that is wrong, because that's the way of the world. Jesus said, you know, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And you can really see 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when the Lord removes the church at the rapture, how the world will be corrupted just completely so quickly. It's like taking all the salt out of the barrel that is preserving the meat or the fish. You take out all the salt, you take out the light, and the place goes dark, boom, just like that. The corruption just begins immediately. And that's what's going to take place. Now, the Holy Spirit is not removed from the earth, but the church is removed from the earth, and the church is the restraining power. The Holy Spirit in the church is the restraining power of evil. And once the church is removed, evil will just come like a flood, and it's not going to be pretty. Jesus said of the tribulation period, unless those days had been cut short, everyone would be dead. That's how horrible and difficult it is. Obviously, lots of people getting saved during the tribulation period, but at a great cost. And the martyrdom is going to be off the chain during those 7 years. So I appreciate the call, my brother. And we have Tom on the line from Texas. Tom, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, hi, Pastor Jeff. I love your show. I agree with you 99% of the time, but I think we need to be careful with the rhetoric that we use regarding this issue with Israel. I've got a family member that puts Tucker in front of me. I listened to a little bit of it, not much of it, but I do know that the thing he had takes issue with the most is that any time he asks questions or brings up things about the state of Israel, he's labeled. He comes from everywhere. You're anti-Semitic. You're a hater. You're this and that. And I think I'm hearing a little bit of the same thing here this morning. You know, I don't see them, Megan or Megyn Kelly or Tucker, flip-flopping, nor do I have I ever heard them say that they're for Sharia law. I agree with you on everything on Islam, but I have not heard them say they're for Sharia law. And to state that is just falling right into exactly what Tucker is saying when anything comes up regarding Israel. The state of Israel is not the same as the Jewish people of the Bible, in my humble opinion. There's things going on there that are very nefarious and that are not spoken of by Christians that take a pro-Israel view. I can give you many examples, but basically just look at AIPAC and the amount of pro-Israel lobby millions of dollars that go into the pockets of all politicians, Democrat and Republicans. It's just horrific. They control so much of our government, and it's not right. You know, I can give you a specific example. Thomas Massie here in Kentucky. You know, Kentucky was pro-Trump, pro-conservative, like 70-some percent. And all of a sudden now Thomas Massie may not even win his election. And I saw Tucker interview him, and he's probably the most honest person in Congress. And he said that there was $10 million given to the his opponent, and 95% of it he traced came from the pro-Israel lobby.
Okay, Tom, I appreciate that. I appreciate you sharing that another perspective. I think that the things Tucker says, if he says he's not pro-Sharia, he sure seems to think Sharia is a good thing in many instances. And he does come after Israel, although he says he's not anti-Semitic, but he definitely is not pro-Israel. And the idea that, well, Israel's not even Israel. You got to remember this, and I'm running out of time, but, you know, Israel did a lot of bad things in the Old Testament, but they were still Israel. And the Lord would allow them to go through lots of hard times, but they'd never cease to be Israel. And so we'll just end it with that. But I appreciate the other perspective, Tom. God bless you, brother. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.